Father, we just thank you for this time. We just ask that you just open our hearts and all those that listen to your Holy Spirit, Father. We ask that your Holy Spirit takes over and teaches. We don't want to step in the way. We're talking about your word, and it's been the inspired word of you, Lord. And if it's your inspired word, we want you to teach it, Lord. Just be with us, be receptive, and also to be teachable, and also to teach. We thank you, Lord, for being here with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to start today on First Principles of Christ. And it'll be many, 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 many weeks, maybe months on it. It's called First Principles of Christ. Lesson one is going to be the inspired Word of God. In the inspired Word of God, we're going to be talking about, inspired Word goes, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. Y'all got that?
I've got it.
That's what you got. What version you got, Wayne?
I've got the ESV, which is the English Standard Version.
I don't like that. We're not going to use that because it's too expensive for me. I can afford that version.
Do you want me to go ahead and read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
It starts at 16 and 17. It says, all the scriptures is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work.
All right. What version do you have, Kathy? I want it read out of several different versions. Because the reason I want it done that way, I want to show that no matter what version you have, that it is the inspired Word of God that we read.
It's the New King James Version.
New King, you want to read it? What do you got, honey?
Message in NIV.
NIV, go ahead.
Read the NIV?
Yeah.
All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
All right, and this is how the message, every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the task God has for us. You got yours now, Kathy?
Yeah. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Okay. In that Scripture, the Hebrew is theo, I can't pronounce it, nestios, which means God breathed. So the Scripture is God breathed. Verse 16, it says what? A little bit of Scripture? A part of Scripture?
It says every Scripture.
It's all Scripture. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed. It's given by man's inspiration, right?
No, by his inspiration.
Inspired by
God.
God. Again, it's inspired by God. So, in these first couple of verses, we found out that it's God-breathed, and it's given by inspiration of God. We also found out that it's useful. It's profitable. And in one way or another, for showing us what is wrong in our lives, right? And I love the Message Bible on that part, where it tells us every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another. I like the way it puts it right on back on our shoulders, showing us truth. We all like that, right? But it goes on. Exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. It's useful, the Word of God. It's useful, it's profitable in one way or another, for showing us what is wrong in our lives. Now, how? By teaching to a given lesson or to show someone how to do something. That's how we're taught, right? Is by giving a lesson, which in the Word there's so many lessons through parables or through things that Jesus went through and he showed us by example. Or to show someone how to do something. which Jesus did with the disciples many times. By instruction, which is the act of teaching or giving lessons. Orders on what to do. That's what instruction is. Training in righteousness. Now this is all goes on how he teaches what our lives, showing us what is wrong in our lives by training in righteousness. Now the word training is to prepare oneself by practicing, learning, or drilling. Now in the military, if you go to the boot camp, that's what training is. Practicing, learning, and drilling. Basically drilling. You drill it into your head. You drill it on the, actually they call it drilling on the drilling pad. That's where you march. In other words, over and over and over again. Well, in order to know the word, you have to drill it into your soul. You have to drill it into your mind. You have to keep going into it. And the more you go into it, the more it becomes a part of you. If you read it one time, put it on a shelf, well, I read the Bible through this year, so I can go ahead and say I read the Bible all the way through. Duh. That's like reading a whole chapter of Left Behind, the whole novels, all of them. Now tell me what's in every one of them. Can you do it? All those books you read, all those novels you've been reading by Decker, can you tell me what's in every one of them?
Not everything. Partials.
But you, if I, a certain
unless you do, unless you read it over and over, and again, a lot of times, because the word's inspired, sometimes we get more than one thing out of the same set of scriptures.
Well, and the scripture is inexhaustible. You
right.
cannot read it enough and not get more and more out of it. So, the first part of this was training. In training, you prepare oneself by practicing, which we just said, over and over and over. An instrument, guitar. The only way you get good at it is by practice. Singing. Your voice gets more mellow if you sing more. Well, some do. Some don't. But the more you practice, the better you get at an art. Painting's the same way. You get to know the brush strokes. You know what colors go together. Learning. Sit under somebody that knows. With disciples, sit under the master. The master we know is in the word. And then drilling. And in doing that...
I've got the Amplified here, and right at where it says, for training for righteousness, it says, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and action.
Absolutely. And this is what it says, to teach a person how to do something to live God's way.
Right.
Godly. And then the righteousness of this is doing what is right, just, upright, and godly. See, we can do things that we think are just right for man, or just being a good person, but unless it's just and upright with God, it's just being a good person. But to be righteous means God, Jesus has made us righteous through the cross. And we don't know that unless we get into the Word. In holy living, we have to be in conformity to God's will and thought. And purpose and action, which goes along with what you just read. Okay, any questions so far? Or are we totally confused? I think everything we're going to be doing in here, I want to... you know, go ahead and keep it in, is that strictly scripture. Everything we're doing is scripture. So I do, and you know, discussion, if you got discussion, well, let's discuss it and everything. But most of this is just pure out scripture. And also, the scripture is also for rebuking. Rebuking is to scold somebody because he or she does something wrong. The word will, this goes with the word where it says he will, where it says he will rebuke us and tell us we're wrong, and he will tell us when we're not doing something right or our thoughts or whatever. That's what the scripture's for too. God's the one that should be correcting us. We're not supposed to be judging each other. God says he'll do that. All right. Reproof. What's the word reproof mean? Anybody know what that means? Because we always
Correcting.
I thought it was kind of cool because you see on the TV when they bleep out something, we call that what? Censoring. God can censor us. That's the reproof. He can reprimand us. He can also admonish us. That's all under reproof. But there's another thing he can do with us. It's called conviction. And conviction is what? Does anybody know what conviction actually is? There's two kinds of conviction. Let me put it that way. One is conviction for a crime. And you have been found guilty of the crime. You're convicted. Then you have a conviction, which is a strong belief in something, which is what God wants us to have. He brings us under that conviction that this, we had a strong belief about something, which makes us not want to do something wrong. Okay? Then there's correction. Now, this is all still under this inspired word of God and what it does to us. All right? We're still under that. Correcting does what? Anybody know what correcting does for us?
Puts us back in the line.
Puts us back in line? Very good. It takes our mistakes and makes them what?
Forgiven.
Forgiven. It makes our wrongs right. Okay? It takes our mistakes and they make takes around by correcting a mistake, you make it right. Use whiteout. Make that word right. And in discipline and obedience. Discipline is control over the way that you or other people behave. That's why you have discipleship. Discipleship comes from the word discipline. Disciples come is from discipline that Jesus gave them under the teaching again. So anytime you hear of a discipleship course, it should be somewhere in there noted that it's discipline course. And discipline is control over the way you behave. A child, an orderly child, you say what? That child does not have any discipline. There's no discipline at home. So discipline is the control over the way people behave. There's physical discipline, there's spiritual discipline. God's word shows you right and wrong way. And the obedience is what? You know?
To obey.
Obey. And it's also doing what? Somebody tells you to do something, what do you do?
You listen and take action.
You do.
Absolutely. You listen and take action. You do what you're told to do. With the obedience, you have to be submission to authority over you. Okay? And it shows us the truth. God's word shows us the truth. And it also says in here, especially about rebellion, that it exposes our rebellion. And I think that was in, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion. Expose means to what?
Reveal.
To bring to light.
Reveal. Expose, bring to light. Uncover something. So what? So it can be seen. And Scripture tells us what we do in the dark will be brought out to the light. Reveal the truth about something, someone, or something, which you already said. Rebellion. What is rebellion?
To go against God.
Go against God? Or any type of authority. Aboard ship, if you had rebellion against the captain, it was called what? Mutiny. One who revolts. One who is defiant. Someone who struggles against those in charge. Just all out. We just say rebellion. And Scripture tells us rebellion is what? It says the spirit of witchcraft. Okay? So it was a really bad rebellion. So, now with all of that, that was just verse 16 and what it says. You got that? Now why? Why does that all happen? Verse 17 says, so we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Through his word, we are put together the way he meant for us to be. By obeying him and doing what he asked of us and growing. And in verse 17, let's say, let me read it to you. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the task God has for us. Everything we read in 16, which says every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful for one way or another, showing us truth, which we read that, exposing our rebellion, which we didn't like, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. That was all what we just discussed. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the task God has for us. Now, that's what we're talking about. That's why we did all this, the big why over verse 17, so we can thoroughly be equipped for every good work. Through His Word, we're put together the way that He wants us to be, by obeying Him and doing what He asks of us and growing. We do what He asks us to do, we'll grow. We don't, we either go on a time of limbo, or we actually start to decay. Or getting that
decline,
decay. Not necessarily a thing of backsliding, but you don't grow. God wants us to be halfway, not doing nothing, and loosely fitted and equipped for something else besides His work. Right?
Of course so.
Okay. God wants us to be complete. He wants us to be proficient, well fitted, and equipped for His work. Agree that?
Yep.
And we do that through His Word. Verse 17 is what it's telling us. The manna called His Word, the Bible, I like this, the Bible, which is B-I-B-L-E, right? Basic instructions before leaving earth. It's the thing where you put the Bible down, B-I-B-L-E.
Yeah.
Is Bible and basic instructions before leaving earth. And that's why they are. There are instructions here on earth. God knows that by using the scriptures, a person who serves God will be capable having all that is needed to do every good work. You got that? You want me to read it again? The person who serves God will be capable having all that is needed to do every good work. Why? So that we may be complete, thoroughly equipped for work. Any questions? Any comments? We just got finished the first couple of seconds. Things of it. That's just the first scripture on the inspired word, which is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Next one is Acts 1:16. Anybody got it?
This again is the English standard. It said, brothers, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judah, who become a guide to those who arrested Jesus.
Who is speaking here? Now, this is Acts.
That is Acts.
Oh.
So this is actually Peter. Okay.
Peter.
And who is he speaking to?
He's actually speaking
to a lot of the brethren around. And what is he talking about? The Holy Spirit. When did this take place? You know? This was a long time, way back, actually in David's time. And how do we know that?
Well, it's because it stated it.
Yeah.
It was about David and Judah.
Because it starts talking about the Holy Spirit spoke through David. Who did the Holy Spirit talk about? You just answered
Judas.
That. Judas, right. And what did he say about Judas?
He became a guide to those who arrested Jesus.
Said he would be guide to the temple, right?
Says he became a guide to those who arrested Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, you're right. Trickery. And why did he do that? So the scriptures would be fulfilled. And this is all showing we're still showing that the scriptures is the inspired word of God. So this is prophecy, showing that prophecy is being fulfilled through the inspired word, okay?
Through the Holy Spirit.
Through the Holy Spirit, speaking through David, showing that Judas was going to lead the temple priests, police, or whatever you want to call them, to arrest Jesus so that scripture would be fulfilled. What does the word fulfill mean? Complete. I found this one definition I really liked: to measure up to or to satisfy. So it's like the prophecies were satisfied through Jesus. I like that. I really like that thing, that definition. But also, fulfill means to bring into actuality.
Or bring into realization.
Mm-hmm. Fulfilled their promises. To carry out.
Or some other definitions is bring to an end, finish, mm-hmm. or complete.
Right. There was some of them I had to do. But I really like that one, though, to satisfy or fulfill the promises. All right. Holy Spirit spoke when? It's just going through this, what we just talked about. Long time ago, right? Through who? David. Concerning who?
Judas.
Who was to do what?
Become a guide.
To who? Those who are going to arrest him. Who? Jesus. So that what would happen? Scripture would be fulfilled. Okay, this is also proof that the scriptures are the inspired words of the Holy Spirit, or God through the Holy Spirit. And this is also keeping the word of God in perfect harmony. So Acts 1:16 is again showing perfect harmony of scripture. All right, now we're going to go to Acts 28:25-27. And this is still showing that the Holy Spirit is the author. If you're following the outline, this is inspired word of God. This is under A. It's still the Holy Spirit is the author. Chapter 28 of Acts, verse 25 and 27. Now, if we're going too fast, just say so and we'll slow down. If you're trying to write something down or anything, because I have to slow myself down sometime to catch up. Anybody wants to read?
It says, in disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart have grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them.
Can you understand what's going on with what Wayne just read? Unless they heard it, or unless they saw it, they didn't believe it. In other words, their faith was dying.
Mm-hmm.
They had eyes but couldn't see, ears but couldn't hear, and the hearts of those people had grown dull. Their ears were hard of hearing now. Their eyes were getting blind because the faith was dying.
Right, and their hearts had grown dull.
Mm-hmm. Let me read it. Let me see if I got the message here. Message. When the believers got cantankerous and started bickering with each other, Paul interrupted. I have just one more thing to say to you. The Holy Spirit sure knew what he was talking about when he addressed our ancestors through Isaiah the prophet. Go to this people and tell them this. You're going to listen with your ears, but you won't hear a word. You're going to stare with your eyes, but you won't see a thing. These people are blockheads. They stick their fingers in their ears so they won't have to listen. They screw their eyes shut so they won't have to look. So they won't have to deal with me face to face and let me heal them. What we got to look at here is what is going on at this time. The Roman leaders and teachers have called for an open meeting with Paul. They wanted to put a stop to the sect that he taught. They wanted to stop Paul from teaching the word. So they set a date for an open meeting and the crowd grew. Everybody wants to hear what's going to be said. They want to see who it was that's going to stop Paul from teaching what he's teaching about this, about God, you know, about Jesus. Turn the page back. So they decided to bind Paul in chains. So here they are. They got the hand overhand on Paul. They got him chained and everything, and everybody's up against him. Paul taught from morning till evening, explaining and declaring the kingdom of God, and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and the prophets. So this is what Paul's teaching now. The number of people grew large, and some were convinced by what Paul said, while others would not believe. Now that brings us to what we just read. Now, we just read Acts 28:25-27, right? Let's look at what took place. There was the crowd. Paul was chained. The people were starting to disagree with each other, right? The word says that they were becoming cantankerous, which means quarrelsome, bickering, and arguing about the little things. Back and forth, with different opinions, ideas, and even the faith. They were arguing about everything. They were angry because they wanted everything to be according to what they wanted it to be. Not what the scripture says, but they wanted a religious sect to be what they wanted it to be. So what did they start to do? They started to leave or depart. But not until chained Paul said, hold on. Actually, the word says he made a final statement. He interrupted the crowd, added one more statement, and had a parting word for the crowd. Remember now, he's changed. He gets right to the point and says, the Holy Spirit spoke the truth and knew what he was talking about, and he was right in saying through the prophet Isaiah, go to my people and say, you will be hearing. Now remember now, Paul's chained. Everybody's getting ready to leave, and he says, I got one word to say. And this is what he's telling them. You will be hearing but never understand, listening with your ears, hear with your ears, and will not understand. Hear the words but will not understand. You will be seeing but never perceiving or aware of what's around. You will look and look but will not learn. You will see what I see and not perceive or understand. Then he said, these people are blockheads, calloused of heart and have grown dull and stupid and hardened. Their hearts are waxed gross, rude, improper, and stubborn. They hardly hear in their ears. As a matter of fact, they stick their fingers in their ears so they won't have to listen. Their ears are heavy and hard of hearing. They have screwed their eyes shut so they won't have to look. They shut them tight so they won't have to deal with me face to face. They are not willing to give in to change because they are set on having their own way. Otherwise, they might see what their eyes and hear what with their ears, understand with their hearts. They might see and hear and understand with their heart in return. So that they might perceive and have knowledge and become acquainted with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their souls. Why? So I may heal them. See, the whole thing, Paul was changed and everything, and the people were getting, like you said, when they were getting dull because they wanted it, religion and all to be their own way. They didn't want a religion that stopped them from doing what they wanted to do. So Paul, he went all the way back and quoted Isaiah, which said exactly that. They had their fingers in their ears. They'll screw their eyes shut because they don't want to listen and they don't want to learn. Any questions on that? God was dealing with them and was trying to ask them to come back to him, and they weren't doing it. They would much rather. And it's like we do today, a lot of people. They don't want to. They're so complacent and happy to where they're at that they don't want to listen to what the Bible has to say. If it means they got to change their ways, if it means they have to straighten up or give up certain habits or do things, then their ears all of a sudden grow deaf on that part of the sermon or that part of the word, their eyes get blurry. They don't see it because they don't want to. And the Bible talks about that from the beginning all the way back to Acts. We look at it as, well, that's what Acts says. Well, Isaiah spoke about way back here. And it shows a blending of the scriptures. The Holy Spirit showing the whole thing all the way from the beginning to the end. You know, this the same thing that people then are just like we are now.
Mm-hmm.
Want to be happy. And the thing of, if I can't see it, I don't believe it. If I can't hear it, I don't want it. You know, it goes both ways. I don't want to hear it, so don't tell me. Or I don't want to see it, so don't show me. It goes both ways. Yeah, it just, I'm happy the way I am. But God said, if you listen and let me have my way with you, I will heal you. I will bring you back to me. Which is the last thing he said on every one of these, no matter what translation you do, it's the same ending. I will heal you or bring you back to me. Any questions on that? If not, I think we'll quit there, because the next one is man is the instrument used, and that's part B, as using the inspired word of God.
Why don't you go ahead and give the scriptures? Why don't you go ahead and give the scriptures out? So, if
well, the scripture, will
look
be
it up for next time.
All right, next, let me give you the next two. Man is the instrument used, which is 2 Peter 1:21 and 2 Peter 3:15 through 16. And then the result is the infallible word, which is Numbers 23:19 and Isaiah 55:11. And we'll start there and try to get those two done next time. Wayne, would you like to close?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together, Father, as we're looking at the Word of God, and we're starting off with how inspired the Word is, and how infallible it is, and how real you are. Father, we ask, Lord, that people take this to heart, Lord, that they get the outlines, Father, they study it for themselves, they read the Scriptures, Father, Lord, so that they can intake it into their very souls, Father. And so that when the time is needed, they can remember those things and share those with other people, and to be able to stand up against the enemy and quote the living word of God to him to depart from them. Father, I pray and I ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.